Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Weiss, the Forgiveness Doctor. My name is David Hayes, and I'll be co-hosting the show today with Michael and Jeannie. And first of all, we'd like to thank Carol Guy for making this possible. We started this Mind Shifters program back in January, and it's been fabulous for us to be able to do, and we hope that you're enjoying the show. If you'd like to make a comment or ask a question, please call in at 646-200-4169, or you can go to our website and click on the show itself and go into the chat room to ask us any questions or any comments that you might have. And checking in, Jeannie, are you there? Michael, are you there? Well, at the moment, it doesn't appear that anyone is on there, with the exception of me. And again, my name is David Hayes. I am out at Heartland. I'm the coordinator for Heartland Center, Michael Rice's training and teaching center here in the Ozarks. And this work is all based around Michael's work in Why Is This Happening to Me Again? It's from his book, and you can go to our website at www.whyagain.com and download the book complimentary of Michael and Jeannie, and go through and get any of the worksheets, any of the tools that Michael offers. He travels the country and the globe, putting on free workshops on his travel. And then we do intensives here at Heartland every summer. We have a 65-day intensive that's coming up. And I'm just wondering if there's anyone out there that has any questions or thoughts. If you would like to call in and check in with us and let us know what's going on. One thing that I was talking with Michael about earlier, and anytime, Jeannie or Michael, that you come on, just let me know that you are there.
Yeah, I'm here, David.
One of the things, hello, Michael. Wasn't sure that you guys were able to have a connection there. How are things with you today?
Good. Connection is spotty at best. It took me several tries to get on. So we're out in the remote parts of California in the Mojave Desert, and not much cell signal. So anyway, it's nice to be here. Welcome, everybody.
Welcome.
Go ahead, David, with whatever you're saying.
Huh?
Go ahead with whatever you were saying.
Well, I was just going to talk about a takeoff from our conversation earlier and from the program yesterday. It might have been yesterday that Tim... Dr. Tim Hayes recommended to watch the video, The Mystery of Water, and I have watched that. It's such a powerful, powerful video, and it shows and talks about, really, about the work that you've developed here, Michael, in that water, that we are water. You know, we're mostly water, made up of it. The planet's 75% water. And that we're all connected through this liquid gas solid of water. And it talks about how everything, that water has a memory. And since water has a memory and we're 75% water or 90% water, then we hold memories in our structure with that. And they were showing the pictures and the different things from the Motos research about taking pictures of water and the thoughts that water will hold. And it's just referring to the damage that is going on over in Japan with the reactors. And it gives a wonderful illustration about how we do this to ourselves as well, that whatever thoughts that we're holding, that we hold them, that we hold them in our structure, in this energy structure. And it has an effect. Not only does it have an effect on our own personal self, it has an effect on the world and everything through the water. It's pretty amazing. So that's what was going on, what I wanted to talk about, and kind of open the lines up to see if anyone has any thoughts, if they have watched the video, or maybe ask what it is that we're talking about. How is this that we are all connected? And what you talk about, Michael, about Einstein said, you know, if we think that we're separate, we're so mistaken with it. We're all connected in so many ways. So that's what's going on with me. Do you have some comments on that?
Yeah, one of the things that, you know, well, with Einstein's quote, if you think you're separate or separated from the rest of humanity, you're living in an optical delusion, and our mind shows us all kinds of crazy things. And, of course, the ultimate connectedness of we humans, aside from water, is the fact that there's only one of us, that we are individuated cells in a body of love. And if we become separated from that body of love, we may strive to get back to it. We may say to somebody, tell me how to do that. What do I need to do? But we're not human doings. We're human beings. And you can't just follow a list of behaviors or say the right words and find the experience of your human life. You find your human life in the experience of your human life. And one of the strivings of our cultures, our earthly cultures at this point, seems to be to take away or to destroy human life, to remove the experience of love, which is exactly what we come in with as children, and replace it with hostilities, fears, power, control, all the games of the world. And so our work here with the Mind Shifters Radio and with Heartland and Why Is This Happening to Me Again is to get us back to the point where we are restored to the direct experience of human life. It is human nature to be love, and we've made the mistake of trying to force those who have no experience in memory of a human life to love. And, of course, what do we do? We do whatever's in our dissociated minds. And as you recognize that, then the work of returning to a human life is to empty the mind, this, especially the dissociated mind, of its fear, its rage, its hatred, its vengeances, the traumas it creates, and come back to a direct experience of being love. You know, think about holding that newborn child, and I'd offer that that's what each of us is designed to live from that experience. And the work of removing what does not belong in our structure becomes key to that process. So if one is not experiencing their lives as love, then they try to love. Big mistake, because trying to love leaves us with a false definition. You know, Karl Marx says, you want to destroy a culture, change the meaning of its words. And the word love describes the essence of the human being. It does not describe something the human being does. And behavior is born either of the content of the mind, or it is born of our essence. Those who are functioning from the content of their mind, trying to be loving, will copy someone's behavior or make up a behavior and think that's love. But without the actual original experience of love, without returning to that experience, you know, in our culture we've been uprooted from the experience of our human lives. And without the return to the actual experience of being love, as the newborn is, it's difficult to make something up that looks or sounds or feels loving. And so our work is to inspire people and support people and getting back to the direct experience of who they are. And then you don't have to spend a lifetime struggling to live up to what someone taught you was a loving thing to do. It will be naturally born of your being. Yeshua's work was about taking people back to the direct experience of being. And those who had no direct experience of being wrote his words down. And then translators came along with no direct experience of being and translated his words and made up a whole story that simply does not describe accurately the essence of a human life. And so when we bring that essence of human life to everything that we do, including this bag of water that we walk around in, you know, essentially your so-called body, depending on whose numbers you take, is somewhere between 70 and 98% water. And that water holds memory. That water is a key to life. And when we bring love, you know, a lot of people, a lot of the focus in the whole water game is, well, now I'll go out and get some really great water that will bring love to me. And that's good. It can support you because energetically it is supportive. But what you want to do is you want to bring being to the water. You want to bring being to this bag of water that you call your body-mind unit. You want to bring being to this person that you're in relationship with. You want to bring being to all of human life and all of non-human life on the earth. And as you do, everything around you starts to transform. You know, in the ancient scriptures, they said, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And it is the mind energy that comes, the original mind energy that comes from our being, that is designed to inspire and create a human life. And so if you're new to the show, we invite you to jump on the website, www.whyagain.com, and download, go to the right-hand side, and you'll see a link on the website that Jeannie has so brilliantly put together. You'll see a link that says download worksheets. And the first two links under that particular link will give you a copy of Chapter 24 for my book, which is an explanation of how to use the worksheet. And the worksheet process itself is the second link. And begin to use that to remove the things that are unlike your human life from, literally, from your bag of water, from this body-mind unit that is primarily water and holds the memory of what's happened in the last 1,000 generations. And as you start to undo that, you get to bring an active, present human life to every experience that you have. And it transforms everything. It transforms absolutely everything. Mimicking somebody else's loving behavior does not produce the experience of a human life. One who admires or tries to copy another who's done what they want to do while having a dissociated mind that has hostility or fear in it is kind of like a vain symbol. It plays out this attempt, but behind it is not the active presence of a human life. And so we're looking to support people in actually functioning from a human life, and instead of playing out the dynamics that are hidden underneath the surface in us all. And so that process of understanding water and its role is most important. And one step higher is claiming and living out of your human life. What was the most important thing? I haven't gotten to watch the video that you were talking about yet, David, but what was the most important thing you feel that you saw in that video?
It was about the holding the memory, that water actually holds the memory, and then they talked about how to change the structure of that. And what I was noticing was, and picking up on, was that I also have to remove the pollutants that's been put in the water. Just putting, as you talked about, just putting like clean water into it, that helps with it. That's part of the process. And we have to remove all of the things that have been put into the water. That's the work. It's just not going to do it. The water will get back to its true nature. And in doing that, though, there's a lot of things that through that process kind of get destroyed. They were referring to it, you know, that's like with the tsunami, with the all the different things that happen. It's because of the structure that the wood that's being held in the water and the way that it's being treated, and which is the same thing as how I see my body and how I see however it is that I treat anything, then there's an effect, there's the effect of what's going on with it. So I thought that was really, really powerful. It's a wonderful tool for me. What I'm doing now is that I'm being very conscious of the water and honoring and respecting it in every aspect. Just as a way of practicing consciousness, you know, there's so many distractions out there that always take me away from, not take me away from, you know, just get caught up into the world. And so I've decided that I'm going to do certain things with water as I look at it. And there was a prayer for water that Emoto had asked for people to do yesterday, and I had caught it a little bit late, so I wasn't part of that overall. And I, with your work and with the way of languaging, there were some things that he put in there, and he talked about forgiving, to ask forgiveness of the water. And so I decided that, well, I'm going to word it a little bit differently. So I wrote a prayer out for it, and it goes something like this. I haven't quite refined it. It said that I apologize for neglecting and abusing you, and I thank you and I appreciate you and all that you have done. And so that's the way that I'm looking at water, to practice being conscious when I get a drink of water, or if I'm using water to take a shower or whatever, is to be appreciative of that. When I'm being appreciative of that water, since I am the water, I'm also reinforcing that within myself. So it's just a little tool, a little exercise that I'm doing with it. It just woke me up to this thing of being connected with everyone through water. I mean, that has to be true. It just has to be true. So some wonderful work that's being done, and I think to take advantage of the situation right now, this is, to me, is like one of those wake-up calls. You know, if a person were to have some pain that's going on in their body, and they go and they ask someone about it, and they say, hey, listen, you've got this going on in your body that, you know, and you need to do something about it. Now, I'm going to refer to cancer as an example, that if someone gets that message, well, then usually it wakes them up to the fact that, well, I need to be doing something different. And that's what I'm using this event now with with what's going on, in order to start healing it within me. You know, I think that there's the intention is good, that people, you know, to get together in this prayer, and I only wish that they had this information about the true meaning of forgiveness, to let go of the pollutants that have been put in there, so that then I get to experience who it is that I truly am. So that's in essence, it's a wake-up call for me. And it's like, wow, you know what? Pay attention to what's going on. Be conscious. So that's what it was with me.
Uh-huh. Fabulous. Well, Gene, do we have any comments in the chat room, or any questions? No?
Well, you know, you were talking about the, well, maybe it wasn't the live you that I was talking to, thinking about, but it was the recorded you that I've been listening to. And one of the things that you talk about is that, you know, we can have all of the great intentions in the world, and what is it saying about the road to hell is paved with good intentions? That if we don't take some action, if there isn't some action, actually putting it in, to it, the act of it, then nothing really changes. It's maybe a temporary fix for feeling good for a moment, and it really is about taking some action. You know, putting the pen to the paper, actually exchanging with someone by reading a commitment to them out loud, either in their presence or not in their presence. There's so many tools that you have to offer them, Michael. It's like, if everyone would just take and do one thing, you know, if they only just really called someone today and said, I love you, or to exchange in a level of appreciation. One of the things that I took from the movie yesterday was, Emoto said,
phone, David?
Put two words. Pardon me?
Are you on the speakerphone?
Yeah. Let me change.
Oh, you're pretty distorted.
Okay. So one of the things Emoto said on there that I took from it was to that it's more powerful to put two words together. It's like we could say love, and if we put love and appreciation, and this is my interpretation with it, this is what I'm implementing in my world, is that love and appreciation. And I was thinking of that so often that people say, thank you, and that's all. And so now I'm going to encourage myself personally, but then I'm going to say, thank you, I appreciate what you did. Or thank you, I appreciate that. He said that to put two words together with it really strengthens the vibration with that. And I thought, wow, how cool would this be? And you know me, Michael, where I go with this, it's like, okay, if we could just get this into the service world, it's service being everything from the person that's in the grocery store to the person that's driving a cab, that from so often within people say, thank you, when they check you out. And I thought, if they just used language, thank you, I appreciate you coming in. It used to be that way. It really used to be that way. You know, and it's like, what's going on? What's happening with it? So I'm going to start implementing that with a thank you, and the purpose of my thank you, to acknowledge what it is that I'm appreciative of. Just in doing that, it's going to strengthen it within me. Strengthening it within me strengthens it within everyone. So there's something I was going to read here. Just give me a moment. It's something that you had. And I'm sending this to you, Michael. It's a copy of what you had. And it's on the education. Yes, we need education. The average American 18-year-old has spent about 18,000 hours watching TV, 12,000 hours in school, 3,000 hours interacting with parents. The top disciplinary problems in the public school system are, in the 1940s, the top problems were talking in class, chewing gum, making noise, running in the halls, getting out of turn in line, wearing improper clothing, throwing paper on the floor. In the 1980s, and I would imagine this has changed just a little bit, the top problems in the schools were drug abuse, alcohol abuse, pregnancy, suicide, rape, robbery, assault, burglary, arson, bombing, murder, absenteeism, vandalism, extortion, gang warfare, abortion, and venereal disease. So this education, educating myself, educating my mind, and the definition, thank you so much again for inviting me to look at what words mean, and that word education is educar, to draw out, to draw forth. Then it's like, okay, well, where does that begin? Where do I begin drawing this education? Well, I want to draw it from within me. So it involves me taking the action. What's the action? That when I say something to someone and I say thank you to them, I tell them what I'm thankful for. It reinforces it within me, within myself. So surely I've stirred someone up out there with this little curiosity about what is he talking about? Take a look at all of the problems, quote, unquote, that are manifesting out there, that the world continues to create based on just over the last 50 years. It's amazing. It's just amazing what's going on. So I invite you to get involved, begin with yourself, and learn the word forgiveness and learn how to forgive. When you learn how to forgive, it's removing everything that doesn't belong.
And, so you know, the power of words.
Anyone out there, did I stir anything up?
Well, if you look into the again, the ancient scriptures,
You hear Yeshua saying that the power of life and death is in our words. And the reason for that is because our words represent frequencies we're engaging in. And when we engage in frequencies of death, things like hatred, vengeance, gossip, slander, viciousness, those words are literal energies. And what the cell biologists are now proving to us is that when you think a thought, you produce a molecule, a neuropeptide in your structure, and that neuropeptide circulates around in your structure until it finds a cell with a receptor site that matches. And the cell then copies that frequency chemically in the cell, and so we get to live with the chemistry of our words. And as you recognize that and select consciously the words you will use, whether it's words that you use to someone when you're saying thank you, whether it's words that you use when you're addressing a challenge with someone, that, you know, the culture almost teaches that, well, you just have to get vicious, you have to get mean, you have to get angry. And the truth is, if you speak words from a space of love, you'll find that you produce much more powerful results. But what tends to happen in our human cultures is because we've lived without forgiveness, because we haven't known how to remove what never belonged, there's a cumulative effect from generation to generation of the words based in hostility and fear. And when we engage in those words, we literally store them in our cells, in our genetics, holographically, and then we produce results that are consistent with those words. And until we wake up to who we are and start to shift our words into something more conscious, something more connected to love, the tendency will be for those frequencies to govern us and to accumulate from generation to generation. So when we see the previous generation, you know, dressing down a child who is love with words of threat, with words of fear, with words that, you know, instill or at least attempt to instill pain in order to control, then that becomes a cumulative effect. And when we wake up to the cumulative effect of that and recognize that we can produce more powerful results out of words that are keyed to love than we'll ever produce out of words keyed to hostility and fear, then we can start to produce different results in our family systems and set up a cumulative effect of words, literal frequencies, energies in the cell, in our physiology, in the water of our bodies that are loving and constructive. And as we do that and combine that with willingness to collapse the dissociated mind, to collapse the parts of ourselves that hold hostility and fear, and to start to review those frequencies, those literal energies that come out as words, especially under stress. You know, we see people who, well, you know, I want to be loving. That's what I'm committed to. But then when the stress is up and the chips are down, the words turn back to whatever's in the genes. The words turn back to whatever's in the good old family feeling. And to discipline oneself to remove those words is to create a space where we can bring forward a human life, and then our words will source from being, and they will, and sourcing from being, they will be words that carry the frequency of love. And so it's more than just a practice of saying the right words. It's really the practice of removing the frequencies, the memory of the words from this water system that we have called the body, removing the memory, that is forgiveness, that has been accumulated over 1,000 generations. You know, you look at the insanities that have been done on this planet in the last 200, 300, 400, 500 years. You know, the people who study murder tell me that I was doing some research recently, and they say that there have been documented over 200 million murders in history, and 130 million of them happened in the last century. There's a cumulative effect. And now we're at the point in our cultures where, you know, sending people off to kill other people, it's just become second nature to the non-human mind. And so what we're working to address and what we're inviting, and of course it's not a work for everybody, it's not a wimp's work. It takes a lot of courage to uncover and to look at what's gone on inside of us in our generations and in our own lives, perhaps before we started to wake up, and to do the work that's required, and the forgiveness process is the key to that, to remove those frequencies based in hostility or fear and replace them with frequencies that come from being. Not replace them with the right words, but replace them from frequencies, energies that are based in our being, which is love. And as we bring those forward, and more, fortunately, from more places on the planet, there are people coming forward saying things, you know, similar things, and moving in that direction. And so when we hit critical mass, you know, the ancient teachings of Yeshua, he says a little leavening leavens the whole loaf. He wasn't talking about bread. He was talking about humanity. And fortunately, it's just going to take a few who choose to come forward. And in the circumstances where yesterday the good old family feeling, the family system would have been some form of put down, some form of sarcasm, some form of rage, some form of criticism, slander, gossip, things based in those frequencies, non-human. To face those things and remove them is an awesome responsibility and an awesome possibility. And if anyone has any thoughts or questions about the forgiveness process or anything we're talking about, we'd love to hear from you. The call-in number is 646-200-4169. And we'd like to mention Carol Guy, who hosts our show on Earth Angels Radio, for being so kind and cooperative as to assist us in bringing this opportunity forward to create support for anyone and everyone on the planet who's interested in learning the tools of forgiveness and moving through the non-human aspect of the experiences that the world tends to show up with and tends to walk.
Hey, Michael.
So, thank you, Carol Guy.
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. When you were talking about the words and how they trigger and resonate certain things, one of the aspects of communication, or one of the ways that we communicate, is with our words. And then, and, you know, as the research talks about it, that actually only 7% of our words are in the communication that they say. About 38% of it is in the tonality of how it is that people are, and then their body language, which is a reflection of what it is that's going on, and not an exact science, and it does. And so I invite folks to also take a look at the tone in which that they use words, where they're coming from, and shift with that. You know, just the idea of saying a word and the energy that's put on it is what's going to resonate even more. You know, for someone to say, "I love you," versus saying, "I love you," there's a big difference. The word is there, only the tonality, if it's not matching up, then you might want to just look and do some exercises about doing that, sitting and being gentle and loving, respectful with someone.
Right, and I think David, what you're really speaking of there is exactly what I was saying before. Does it come from being? If it comes from rote memory, where while you're supposed to say this, then there's a certain tone that comes with rote memory, and the tone is the same as the frequency that it went in with. So if it was just, you know, well, we say thank you because you're supposed to do that, as opposed to a genuine frequency coming from being. Again, you know, oftentimes family systems try to teach children to say the right words instead of teaching them how to live as love, as human beings. And mainly, I think, because the tools for doing that have been pretty much disappeared from the planet. And what we're working to do is to reestablish those tools and bring them forward into the world. To bring them forward in a way that restores human life so that when we speak from being. We're actually present in our being and bring forward our tonality, the language of our bodies, the structure and the way we hold ourselves, that it actually comes from that space of connectedness and love.
Oh, yeah, I like that. Thank you very much for reminding me of that, because it's really, you know, the senses pick these things up automatically from people and you know, and it's absorbed. It's kind of like it resonates something that's in me. When I hear something from someone, it's usually the tone versus the word. The words can certainly play a part in it, and it's more on the tone. And again, what I hear you saying is that if that tone resonates something that's within me, then it's something for me that I need to remove. It's the tone of that. And coming from the space of love, then it will resonate that in, as well. I was watching yet another documentary, and it was in reference to something that Lennon said, that he was listening to Beethoven, which symphony was it? It was one of his symphonies, and he made the statement that he had to stop listening to it, otherwise he would not be able to complete his revolution. It's like, oh, wow. Just listening to that vibratory energy from that space would change everything. Would change him, that he would not be able to continue to have the revolt that he had in him. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Tapping into the frequency of the being. And that's what the geniuses in the arts do, is coming from that space of connectedness and being, they create frequency patterns, whether it's with an instrument or whether it's with a voice, whether it's with a paintbrush, that they create frequencies that touch people. And I hadn't heard that before about Lennon, that he couldn't do the viciousness that he did had he kept listening to Beethoven. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah, well, actually what it was a movie that I was watching, and it was from Germany, and it was about the East and West Berlin right before the wall came down, and it was showing how they were living a very, very powerful movie in showing of what it is that to get people to follow and do what it is that they wanted to do in East and West Berlin, in the East Berlin, and the people wanting to get to the West, and how that they had this community that they would not allow certain things to come in, and they controlled people. Wonderful movie, and one of the they had their quote writers and their directors of plays and their paintings and all those things, and those things were also controlled, and that's where the statement came from, was from that that he said that, you know, that one of the creative people, he knew, wow, if you play this. Because he had played this music in there, and he had made that statement that Lennon said that. I thought, wow, how incredible is that? So they outlawed the music. They wouldn't allow that music in East Berlin. No one could play it.
Interesting. There's an interesting film called Swing Kids, where these kids were in music, and Hitler, you know, basically destroyed it, wouldn't allow it, because everything, in order to get people to function as non-humans, non-human life has to control. And so that's definitely one of the keys. Jeannie, you've got 480. You're on the line. Give us a name and where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hello?
This is Dominica. I'm calling from Chicago, Illinois.
Hi, Dominica. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. I had a question about the forgiveness process. Could you talk more about that in more concrete details, about how one can get to that being place, especially if you've had past trauma or past experiences that have been destructive.
Right. Well, have you downloaded the reality management worksheet from the website and read that chapter 24?
Chapter 24. No, I haven't, but I will.
Well, if you go to www.whyagain.com,
uh-huh.
on the right hand side, you see a link that says download worksheet.
Uh-huh.
And so if you click on that, the first link that you can click on is a set of instructions for how to do the forgiveness process from the Aramaic. And then the second link is an actual copy of the reality management worksheet, which is the forgiveness process that we've developed out of the Aramaic. So what you might want to do is to download those two items and start to work with that process. That's the core and the key tool, or one of the key tools that we use. And as you use that process, you can you'll come to a different type of experience of what forgiveness means. There is a link, and let me just ask Jeannie if she knows offhand the date or the name of the show, because there is a show that you can download where we went through actually step by step the whole reality management process. We had someone who volunteered to do a worksheet on the radio show, and we walked them through each step. And so, Jeannie, do you have the information on just which show that is?
It's on the archive marks that it's an interview with Pamela Gregory.
Okay. So Jeannie says if you go into the archives on www.whyagain.com,
mm-hmm.
Under Mindshifters Radio, there's our archives, and there's an interview with Pamela Gregory doing a worksheet. And Pamela was the person who volunteered, and it'll walk you through the whole process. So, and what I'd love it if you would do is if you would download those items and work with it, and then if you have some specific and or concrete questions about how to do the process, we would love to support you and answer those questions, because they refine the process. And so February 22nd is the date of the archive item.
I'm looking through the archives. Where is the archives on here? Because I'm on your website now.
Okay.
And with the archives right to the right.
Click on the right. Click on Mindshifters Radio. On the right, okay. Jeannie, or is it in the center?
No.
Okay, on the right, Mindshifters Radio. And then scroll down to archives under Mindshifter Radio.
Okay.
And then you'll see an interview February 22nd that we did with Pamela Gregory, a young woman who's doing our work in Florida, who's also doing global forgiveness work, and she was our volunteer that day. So that walks through the process. And then, again, if you would check that out, it isn't practical with the time we've got left to go through the whole process in terms of how it's done. But those archives are there, and any refinements, any support, any assistance, any question that you have on doing the process, we would be absolutely delighted to support you in it and answer those questions.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
All right. Awesome. Thank you for your call. We're glad you're listening.
Bye.
Blessings.
One more touched in. Great. It's fabulous. Thank you. That's wonderful for us to know that someone is willing to have the courage and then to take the courage to do the work, because that's where it's at. It's that action. So that just made my radio show today.
Yeah.
Made me being on the radio show. It's like, wow, that's really cool. So anyone else?
And, you know, the core of the whole idea of forgiveness. You know, I've been doing this work for about 40 years, and some 22, maybe 23 years ago, I started to look over the years at what was the key to healing? What shifted those things that just occupied people's lives and minds for years and years and years, whether it was, you know, a traumatic event, maybe some form of abuse that they'd experienced as they were in childhood or younger, Was it a genetic predisposition towards something? Was it the loss of a relationship or a job? You know, whatever. And to recognize that our this body mind unit, this, you know, we started out the show talking about the ability of water to store memory, held memory of those things, and that when we function out of the memory of those things, we're functioning out of a memory. And memories are changeable, especially the emotional impact. And I mean, I could go through 1,000 stories of people with some of the most horrific experiences you could possibly imagine. And in fact, something we see fairly often in our work is people who come to a workshop and after the workshop or a week or a month or 6 months later contact us and say, you know, I was planning on committing suicide that day. I was going to kill myself that night. We've heard that so many times. And it was over literally a memory, which is energy, which is frequency stored in the structure that ran their so-called thinking processes. Once they accessed the technology with which to remove those, and that's what forgiveness is. You know, the Greek interpretation and translations of scriptures removed us from the original chain, and it taught us that, well, you know, somebody else did something really terrible, so you forgive them, you left them, let them off the hook. That is fully intact, the memory, the energy, the pain, the trauma of whatever that particular experience was. In ancient Aramaic, which is the root of what we see coming out of the Greek scriptures, that's not what they taught people to do. They taught people how to apply forgiveness to that which was stored in memory, that which ran the feeling nature, that which interfered with physiological processes. They showed how to remove those things and take us back to the active presence of a human life. And what became clear to me as I start to look over the years was the core and the crux of healing, and it sort of really shifted the direction of my work, which has happened many times over the years. What became clear to me was that if we could take a memory, if we could bring as fully as possible the memory of that experience with all its trauma, with all its drama, with all its presence, with all its pain, if we could bring that forward, if we could just get what they called in the ancient teachings the veil of the temple to open, the barrier between the subconscious and the unconscious, and access that which was in hiding, ran people's conscious processes, and do that when love is active and present, and the meeting of those two things dissolved the trauma. The meeting of those two things removed the traumatic energy from the memory bank. It didn't mean people forget about the event that it had happened, but what would occur was they could remember it with a sense of love. And it didn't mean they didn't learn lessons from it, but they weren't lost and trapped in the trauma of it. So ultimately, no matter how terrible the thing is that was done to you, or in turn, how terrible the thing is that you've done, if you'll take that forgiveness process, begin to use it, you will experience a shift and a return to being, a return to your original essence created. And it's easy to establish what your original essence is. All you have to do is hold a newborn, and you'll have a direct experience of what love is, of what a human life is. And when you can bring that human life forward in the presence of any form of hostility or fear, trauma or pain, it will begin the dissolution of that trauma or pain. Now, it seems like, well, but that's impossible. How could you do that? Well, that's what the instructions are for. That's what the worksheet process is for. And that's precisely how it's done. It's a step-by-step, and it isn't, as I said earlier, it isn't a work for wimps. It takes real commitment to be willing to access those things head-on, full force, instead of holding them at an unconscious level where they impact everything that goes on in your life, that you bring those things forward fully in the presence of love, and it literally dissolves the trauma aspect. There's a wonderful line in the Course in Miracles that helped to open a space for me in understanding that. And what it says is, you need not seek for love. You need only seek, find, and release the barriers you've built within yourself against it. And as you do, you come back to the experience of love 24/7, 365, no matter what's happening in your world, and you experience your life from the presence of love. We have habitually been forced into experiencing it out of the memory bank of the generations. And we've been taught that that's how survival happens, that you need to have those facilities, those fears in the real world, because they'll protect you and keep you safe. Well, excuse me, but you don't need fear to know that if you get too close to the edge of a cliff, you're going to fall over. You know, intelligence dictates that I don't need fear to know the edge of that cliff can be dangerous, so I stay step back. I don't need fear of a flame to say, there's a stove over there, I think I'll go stick my hand in it. I don't need fear to say, no, we're not going to stick our hand in the fire. It's intelligence. It's our innate intelligence that guides us in those things. So hostility and fear has been far overrated by the world. And it's time for us to recognize the power of our human lives to bring change and to shift these things through the active presence of love. That's where the real power is. You know, if you want to watch a really awesome display of that, the film Gandhi is absolutely amazing. And you watch how Gandhi confronts some of his own hostilities and fears and does some of his own work until he gets to the point where he can function with everyone, including his archenemy, as the active presence of love. When he approaches Colonel Smuts, who was the representative of the British Empire that was responsible for slaughtering who knows how many Indians in India and responsible for such atrocities. And he goes to the man who's the quote-unquote archenemy, and he says, I hope this doesn't come between us as men, but I can't agree with or cooperate with your insanity, but I honor you as another human being. And as you recognize that that's what we are designed to function out of, then a return to that human life becomes key. When we are uprooted from love, and that seems to be the specialty of the world, every newborn comes in exactly the same energy, and it is the awesome presence of love. And the world does its best to uproot us from that, to bring hostility and fear forward as though hostility and fear was valuable and was useful for survival. Excuse me. The active presence of your human life is 1,000 times more useful for survival than any form of hostility or fear. Because we live in an energetic world, and any form of hostility or fear, though, you know, if an attacker comes to you and you use rage, you may be able to, you know, repel them and, gee, I scared them off, but I just set up a literal energy that's going to pull somebody else in to do the same stuff with me. And as I recognize that and choose to bring a different energy into my life and into my world, I draw literally different things into my sphere. I resonate energetically a different kind of life than the life of hostility and fear that the world seems to think is so valuable. It is not valuable. It is total and complete self-destruction. Jeannie, do we have any comments in the chat room or any questions?
What we've been chatting about right now is the craziness of the world and everything and all the global disasters and civil wars. And so then what you were talking about the newborns being the awesome presence of love, and that's who we are. And I had typed in, when you were talking about Gandhi, I typed in, you know, that Gandhi had said that we had to be the change that we wanted to see in the world. And one of the comments that came back, which I haven't gotten around to commenting to, so maybe you'll want to talk about it, we only have about 5 minutes, was that he said that first we have to be able to see the change that we want to be. And so I was going to comment on about how all the feelings and experiences are there to awaken us to say, hey, you know, whether we're going in the right direction or we need to shift directions. And it's there to remind us of who we want to be. And it's just that sometimes we don't look with their eyes and hear with their ears. And
right. Yeah. Great thoughts.
Hand up.
We've got a hand up. We've got somebody calling in from area code 954. Tell us your name and where you're calling from. Hello, 954. Are you with us? Oh, I guess I don't know what's happened. 954, you're on the air. Share a name with us. Okay, it's not coming through. Okay, well, we're down to 4 minutes. Perhaps if whoever called in from 954 would hang up and recall, we'll see if we can get you through and on the air before we complete the show. And yes, that's one of the reasons, you know, to the comment that says we need to be able to see it. That's one of the reasons why I suggest that film Gandhi, because it's so awesome to watch this man who has to deal with some of his own hostilities and fears, and how he develops and how he matures into one who simply is the space of love no matter what happens. And where people propose things like violence and viciousness to bring about change, he absolutely says, no, we're not going to go there. A couple of other powerful visuals on that. Get a copy of the movie Invictus and watch how Nelson Mandela, who spent 20 years horribly abused in a prison, simply because he was black and wanted to speak up in South Africa, when he is elected as prime minister of the country, many people in his party wanted to do vengeance. And this film is a very powerful portrayal of his commitment to nonviolence, a la Gandhi, that he watched. He saw Gandhi, and that was one of the places that that he came from, was having watched Gandhi do what he did. And instead of, you know, the symbol in that particular movie, the symbol of apartheid in South Africa was rape. And so those in his party had experienced a lot of abuse wanted to destroy, you know, let's just throw away the rugby team. And so wanted to get rid of the rugby team, and Nelson Mandela says, no, we're going to support them. We're going to bring love into this situation. And, you know, he transformed the way that country operated. And each of us has the power to do that. Another wonderful film for doing that is Brother, Son, Sister, Moon. And you watch this young man who's brought up in a wealthy family, and his life is about going off to war and being a hero, and that's how they hold him up. That's what they offer him to the world as. And he has the experience of the insanity of war and the experience of a human life in that context. And in so doing, he starts to wake up to, no, we're about something different. And he brings forward the active presence of love in a way that is so powerful. So there are at least three examples of places we can go. And caller 954, are you there?
No.
Oh, okay. So Jeannie is suggesting that we might want to mention another worksheet that you might want to scroll down the list when you go to www.whyagain.com. On the right-hand side, download worksheets. Scroll down the list and look at the purpose worksheet. It's pretty much self-explanatory, and it taps us back into our purpose. You know, if I put it in the context of what I was explaining about Brother, Son, Sister, Moon, St. Francis of Assisi, that he was bred and to be a warrior and a businessman based in greed and accumulating things. And he wakes up, goes beyond that. Say again, David?
1 minute.
Okay. As he wakes up and goes beyond that, that he becomes the symbol of something different in his community and brings forward a whole different dynamic into the world. And each of us has the power to do that. And, of course, by having these great minds and these great beings that have come forward and brought to the world a visual of how to live an actual human life,
is key, and then to go back to the teachings of Yeshua 2,000 years ago for how to remove from this mind those frequencies that never belonged in this mind. And as we wake up to our true humanness and claim a human life, what an awesome privilege it is to be able to do that. And so our support for each of you that's on the show today is that you live the best year yet of your eternal life, and that we join you in the experience of a human life, the experience of the active presence of love, whatever has gone on in your family culture or your cultural system, and you overcome. You know, in the ancient scriptures, they talk about, it didn't give me any notice.
Huh? You there?